a little review of the previous three messages. The general subject for the messages for this conference is knowing and doing the will of God. In the first message, the subject was simply the will of God. And we saw an important verse in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, that it was according to God's will that everything was created. So God's will is the source. Then we turned briefly to Colossians, because that book reveals to us that the will of God is for the all-inclusive Christ to be our life, our enjoyment, and everything. Then we turned briefly to consider Ephesians, and there it's so clear in chapters 1 and 4 that the will of God is to build up the church, the organic body of Christ. And then what's in the Lord's heart for each one of us is that the veil is lifted and we see that the eternal will of God concerns Christ and the church. And we were created for this, redeemed for this, and regenerated for this. And so many of us, by the Lord's grace and mercy, we are in the church life to actually fulfill this. Then once we have settled that we are here concerning Christ and the church, then we can ask the sovereign God, what is your will concerning me right now in every way? And then God the Father, the source, will make it known to us. Then we can be rescued from living according to God's permissive will. And instead, we are doing God's perfect will, His eternal will. And this can happen not only personally, it can happen corporately. Here's a brief illustration. I won't say exactly when, and I won't tell you where on the earth. But it was so clear that the number of churches in this area, more than 30 churches, have been going through a great deal of suffering and trial. And at this particular time of the year, there was a certain holiday along with the weekend. And surely the Lord had in His heart a burden to minister something to all the churches and all the saints. But then, how it happened, we don't know, but some co-workers decided, well, we'll have a subject on something that we are doing. And once I learned about this, because I was involved elsewhere on that weekend, it became so evident. This God permits, He permitted. And this is a very risky matter. Then we think, oh, this is fine. Well, remember, we'll come back and read these three verses from Matthew 7 again. It could very well be that believers among us, co-workers among us, could stand before the Lord and say, Lord, in your name, we did this, we did that. And for Him to say, depart from me, workers of lawlessness. And so we need to be enlightened through the Word concerning the will of God itself, concerning Christ and the church. And then in message two, we went on to see that for God's will to be carried out, He needs our cooperation with Him. He wants to carry this out with us. He created the universe without us, but now He is carrying out His will with us and through us. And then the other part of that message was praying concerning God's will. And then last night, we were on another matter related to doing the will of God in this age, especially doing the will of the Father in this age. But we began with an opening word concerning two realms that we are living in, whether we realize it or not. And in both realms, the will of God must be done. So the first realm is that we're in the age of grace. We're living in the realm, the domain, the territory of grace, which supplies us all inclusively. And we have so much joy through grace. And I pointed out the last verse in the Bible is about the grace of the Lord be with you all. But there's also another aspect, and that is God's government. And we briefly looked into 1 Peter. That epistle is about the Christian life under the government of God. And just to realize we are under this, and in order to do God's will completely, we need to be not only in the realm of grace, but in the realm of God's government. That is His authority. And then everything is clear. And now our understanding is complete, and we realize, Lord, regarding Christ and regarding your government, may your will be done. Amen. And I'm asking you personally, please show me and enable me to do your will under grace and under government. And then we went on to give the message on, we were just opening up to see the relationship between the will of God and the kingdom of God. On the one hand, we could say objectively, there's a distinction between the will of God, that's this, and the kingdom of God is that. But in the teaching and in the experience in the New Testament, these two are actually one. In experience, the will of God and the kingdom of God are really one realm altogether. So that is why we're coming to message four on doing the will of the Father for the kingdom. And after spending some time in the first section, then I'll come to Matthew 7, 21 and 23, and consider the verses directly, and then we'll come to all the sub-points, so that the light will be very bright. And as I pointed out last night, in Luke chapter 12, toward the end, the Lord said, on the day when all the believers stand before the judgment seat of Christ, many will be able to say, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't know what your will was. I didn't know anything about your economy. And the Lord will be able to say, I know, I realize that. You need to be perfected during 1,000 years, but your discipline will be limited because you didn't know. But you need to perfect it to be mature in life, to live forever and ever in maturity in the new, as part of the New Jerusalem. But then those who knew have more responsibility. We cannot say, I didn't know. And you might say, well, what about March 8, 9, and 10? Were you in Phoenix then? Well, yeah. And you heard some messages about the kingdom and about the will of God? Yes, I did. So you can't say you didn't know. So it's a blessing to have the truth in the Word made clear to us. But based upon what we know, we have a particular responsibility. But I consider that also a privilege, because this will open the way, as we will see, that we can do the will of God that is perfect, not permissive, and grow in life to maturity and serve Him faithfully. So we will be ready, as mentioned in 1 John in 2 or 3 places. We will have a kind of boldness. There'll be no fear when we stand before the Lord, because our inner being will testify that we were expressing Christ, we were living Christ, we were ministering Christ, we were doing the will of God, we were involved in the building up of the organic body of Christ. And the highest point is, Lord, by your grace and life supply, we participated in the bride making herself ready. Amen. So now we come to the first section. The kingdom is absolutely a matter of God's will and completely fulfills God's will. In fact, the kingdom of God is God's will. And we read that verse, which makes that known. And so this needs to be inscribed in our being, not just something in our mind, although that's where it starts. We turn our heart to the Lord and we become an open vessel, and we set our mind on the Spirit, and then we can realize that the kingdom of God and the will of God are identical. Not in objective theology, but in the actual experience. They go together. So point A says, as the kingdom people, we are on earth to do the Father's will. Or we could also say, we're all alive. We were all created. We were all born. We were all saved. We were all regenerated, so that we would be people on the earth doing the Father's will. That's why we're here. No matter what our age is, maybe you're 17, senior in high school, perhaps. You're not too young. You have the life and nature of God. You have Christ making His home in your heart. You have the Lord interceding for you, shepherding your soul. And He wants you to know that His will concerning Christ and the church is the foundation for your living on the earth. And you are here to do the Father's will, whatever it is, wherever you are. This is what we're here for. And notice it doesn't say we're on earth to know the Father's will. We have to know it. But to do the Father's will. B, in order to do the will of the Father, we need to enter into through the narrow gate and walk on the constricted way. And that is these verses 13 and 14. Let me read them to you. Because this is, you could say, the doorway, the entrance into this. Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter through in. Because narrow is the gate, and constricted is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. And so, this is a verse, it'll never become like a favorite, but it's of utmost importance if we really want to live in the reality of the kingdom of God and do the will of God. And so, if we want to enter into this realm, it's a very restricted way, a very narrow way. And point one gives us some details. The narrow gate excludes the old man, the self, the flesh, the human concept, and the world with all its glory. Only that which corresponds with God's will can enter in. And so all of us, as we are having a desire to enter into the reality of the kingdom of God and do the will of God in this realm, we will realize we're being restricted. The cross will be applied to us. It's not going to be suffering. But all the natural things, all the anti-Christ things, anti meaning not just opposing, but instead of. If Christ is to be all-inclusive in our experience, then certain things in our being need to be replaced by Christ himself. And so this is the way we enter in. There's the broad way, and millions, tens of millions are on the broad way, not knowing. They really like it. They've got everything mixed together. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and now I can have this and that in the world and this age. But now we're realizing, at least a little bit, there's a narrow way. But as we're walking this restricted way, deep within, life is just flowing. We have a fountain in us, according to John 4, springing up. And it's not just simply I'm being limited. Yes, but there's such deep peace, because the more we advance on this way, the more the life is flowing, the more Christ is real to us, the more we are one with him. Then point two, as we walk on the constricted way, we are restricted by a mysterious, invisible, inward control. And we live under this control. Only the Lord knows how many of us are touching this particular point, but we all have to begin somewhere. And eventually, you'll just realize, actually, what's happening in my inner being, I don't fully understand. It's kind of mysterious. And also, it's invisible. But there's an inward control. This is the resurrected Christ as the life-giving Spirit, being one Spirit with you. And He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's an inward control. He's not condemning you. He's not judging you. But you'll find out one sign of growing to maturity somewhere toward the end of the life study of Colossians. Brother Lee speaks about Jacob at the end. And the sign of his maturity in the triune God was the way he spoke now. And you could he could say you could just trace his development by the way he talked and what he said. And now don't try to change your own way of speaking and what you're going to say. It'll only last for maybe, 2 minutes. But you'll just realize there is this kind of inward control, and we live under this control, and deep within there is a profound peace that we've never experienced to this extent, because we are on a journey into the reality of the Father's kingdom. Now we come to Roman numeral 2, and I want to come to these verses again, 21 through 23. And please realize the Lord is speaking to believers. He's not preaching the gospel to unsaved people. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Now, we've been encouraged to call on the Lord, Lord Jesus, amen. Lord, Lord, I turn my heart to you. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. Well, by calling on the Lord in this way, we are saved. We are regenerated. But just saying this does not bring us into the kingdom of the heavens. Because, but he who does the will of my Father who is in the heavens. And so, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens. But he who does the will of my Father who is in the heavens. And so we shared to some extent last night concerning the kingdom of God, and that the church is brought into being as revealed in the Gospels and in Acts by preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And it's the gospel of the kingdom that produces the church. And now the church is the reality of the kingdom. If we really have a clear view of the church life, it's not just we're the family of God, we're in the household of God, but we are in the kingdom of God. And the function, the goal of the church is to pray for the will of God to be done and for the kingdom of God to be manifested on the earth. And the Lord is going to urge us to pray nonstop. Doesn't mean you don't pray other things, but we will just continue to pray as the Lord leads until the kingdom of God is manifested. And then in verse 22, many will say to me, many. I just have the feeling that when God says many, he doesn't mean like 14 people, but a vast number. Many will say to me in that day, and that day is the day of judgment before the Lord, with the judgment seat. So many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, was it not in your name that we prophesied? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name did the works of power? And please just make it clear in your thinking, the Lord is speaking to us. Those that are redeemed, those that are regenerated, those that have been born again. And it's only the Lord himself who knows what kind of action is taking place, what kind of work is taking place. When I referred to this one conference that took place under the permissive will. And just suppose that especially brothers that have some function in that way, they do this frequently. And they feel they've accomplished something. But I don't want to stand before him and say, Lord, Lord, I gave messages at this conference. And didn't I have good subjects? And then the Lord makes it clear, that I will declare to them, I never knew you. This is in relation to what you've done. I wasn't involved. I allowed this to happen. And in what? And then I will desire to, okay, verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. That's going to happen. It probably will not happen to the dear brothers and sisters in the churches that are serving diligently according to their measure, but especially those that were very active in the work and inwardly feel quite encouraged of what they have done. But in that particular weekend conference that I said was the permissive will of God, at the end of it and right after it, I received a number of emails from mature and experienced brothers and sisters. And they asked me, what was going on? What was this? And this just shows their inner feeling. You know, these are people I respect, but the spirit within us is not confirming that. Because actually, the Lord in his heart and his will was to have a different kind of conference to minister with the shepherding way suffering saints and churches that have gone through one trial after another, involving more than 30 churches and hundreds, even a few thousand saints. And so my being, in a sense, I wouldn't say cries out, but just prays, Lord, please, when I stand before you, I don't want to hear this from you. Instead of him saying this, he would say, "Well done. Well done, my good and faithful slave. You did what I arranged for you." In other words, you did the Father's will. No, you didn't travel around the earth and have this and that. But in your church life, in the practical aspect of the service, whatever it is, you were faithful, you were diligent. And the talent that I gave you, you used, and it developed. And so, no, you were not a co-worker, you were not necessarily an elder, you were not this and that. You're just an ordinary brother and sister, a member of the body. But I want to welcome you into the joy of your master. Come into 1,000 years of enjoyment beyond anything you've ever known before. And so, it goes on to say, still in verse 23, "I never knew you. Depart from me. I don't want to be in contact with you. Depart for a period of time." When you're dealt with and when you are brought to maturity, of course, then by that time, the 1,000-year kingdom will be over. There'll be the new heaven and the new earth. And I will just be so happy and rejoicing that you and millions of believers have been matured and transformed. And now I have not only the bride, I have the wife. And now the Father is so satisfied that every child that was regenerated through him has now been grown to maturity. And for eternity, we will all be together in the new heaven and the new earth. And then he said, "You workers of lawlessness." Lawlessness. Okay. I'm just going to have a training for about 2 minutes. Okay? As an example, that after a message is given, we set aside 25, 30 minutes for sharing related to the message. What touched you? What enlightened you? What helped you? But if someone stands up and then starts talking about something you think you know, and you talk about a subject that has nothing to do with the message, that is lawless. That is not under the throne. That is self-confidence. This is why, okay, now the training's over. Just a little taste. Because you just looked toward the end of Matthew chapter 12. And the Lord, this is the main thought, I can't quote it. But the basic thought is this, regarding our speaking. And he says, every word is recorded. And on that day, they will be presented to you. A recording. Maybe not just everything, like you're talking to your wife or your children, but it means in relation to Christian life and church life. And when this verse began to enlighten me, then I just turn to the Lord and say, Lord. And another dear brother, older brother, even I, we both independently had the same kind of feeling. Lord, I ask you this. Anything that you would deal with when I stand before you, I ask that you would deal with it now. And I believe that this touches the Lord's heart. I don't want to wait until then and have so many things, including just the way I'm doing this and that. Because, again, this is in the context of the kingdom. And this one thing I can testify, I began serving with Brother Lee at his request April 1st, 1974, almost 50 years. And before he asked me to relocate in Irving, Texas, I served with him for 10 years and 9 months. Every Thursday morning was the minimum to work on the life studies at other times. I never heard him say a wasted word. Never. Never. It just touched me so much. Again, not trying to imitate. But he was just an example of what is in Matthew 12, that, you know, it's not going to work if you say, okay, I'm going to be quiet now and I'm not going to say things. Well, the Lord will have a way to adjust that when you're driving and someone cuts in front of you. You probably will say something. Probably kind of naughty stuff temporarily. So don't try to perfect. Just be an open vessel and pray for the growth in life. Amen. I'm just where I am. What my granddaughter, who's 17, she doesn't feel, I'm not really a full-grown woman yet. She just realizes I'm 17. Before long, I'll be a young woman. And so we don't have to be troubled by where we are, but we just want to proceed. For the Lord to say, workers of lawlessness. This could actually happen. And so, we'll see now as we go through the subpoints on this outline, whether or not we enter into the manifestation of the kingdom depends on whether or not we do the will of the Father. And actually, it's not complicated. If you would maybe pray a little bit personally over this verse, and you just pray or talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I really want to enter into the manifestation of the kingdom. You know I have this desire. And this is not something from the self. This is something genuine. I've been learning about it, and Lord, I hope to do it. And I want you to please train me in every way that I could enter into the kingdom, and then the Lord might indicate, okay, the crucial matter is to do the Father's will. That is the key, whatever it is. And if you, within, you're making the decision, you may not know what the Father's will is directly with you, right? But you've established it. You've confirmed it. Lord, I'm here to do the will of my Father. Amen. And Lord, I will not do what you allow, what you permit. I make the decision, like I testified to you. I don't know what caused me to make it, but I just have to thank and worship God that somehow someone was praying or the Lord was just shepherding his mercy and grace to just impart this thought and feeling. And so, in one way, actually, I don't understand of brothers and sisters living in any other way. With all of this truth surrounding us, may it just be settled from this point on, only the perfect eternal will of God, the will of God the Father. I decide to do that. I can make the decision, but I don't have the ability. And that's part of your learning. And the Father would say, I know, I know. Now I will supply you. I will train you. I will, in a positive way, discipline you. You read this in Hebrews 12. So that you are able to do, by the indwelling Christ, something you could never do yourself. But it's you, singular, and you, plural, you have a human will to make a decision. And if there's no decision, then in the eyes of God, this actually means no. Anything that's passive is really a practical no. But the enemy, as I pointed out last night, is happy about that, because now I have access to your being. And so I want to read verse 21 again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but he who does the will of my Father who is in the heavens. He didn't say, but he who knows the will of my Father. So just a very simple illustration. In the December 1994 winter training, I mentioned this, some brothers at Brother Lee's request did some writing to defend an attack against him for his teaching, the high peak of the divine revelation. And then he announced the brothers who did this were sending them to the Philippines, to the battleground to fight. And so, of course, we did this. And then after I came, Brother Lee called me and said, there's a conference in Malaysia. Please go. And so that began this kind of activity. But now, again, this is also the action of God's will, you know, with the heart surgery and the hip breaking and other things. You know, this is, so I'm limited now, and that's so peaceful. And so I thought, I'm not going to go to the Far East again. I would go there several times every year, different places. But then I received an email from two faithful, experienced co-workers about, would you come with another brother to give some training messages about serving? Well, I couldn't respond right away, But it became so simple. This was the Father's will. It's not whether you want to go or don't want to go, whether you like it or don't like it. But he also said, this is Jesusly human on their side, that you come with your wife, then after the meetings of training, then we'll have you go to Sun Moon Lake and have a restful, happy time. And so that I did that because the Father willed that. There was a surprise. But also, an aspect of God's will, I had to contact brothers and churches in certain parts of the country. Don't want to say where, that I went every year for a weekend conference, and I had to tell them I can't go there anymore. And they received this, they accepted this. And then I did my best to open the way to say there are some other younger co-working brothers there. They have a portion. Just let them come. And so we know what the Lord doesn't want to do anymore. But when I got was fellowshipping with the brothers here online a few months ago, and they asked me to come sometime this time of the year. So it was the will of God to come to Phoenix. We'll see, but it is in the future. And so when the Lord says no, we should be as peaceful as when he says yes. Because you're saved from doing something he permits. And he preserves you for what he wills. Okay, now the subpoints. A, to call on the Lord suffices for us to be saved. But to enter into the kingdom of the heavens, we also need to do the will of the Heavenly Father. I think this is becoming clear. That we call on the Lord to be saved, and we call on the Lord to receive his present dispensing. We don't stop calling on him in order to receive his life supply. But to enter into the kingdom of the heavens, we also need to do the will of the Heavenly Father. And so I really don't have to ask you. I think this is your feeling. Surely you want to enter into the kingdom of the Father, the kingdom of the heavens. And then I would just encourage you, just settle this matter between you and not only the Lord, but with God the Father. Even if it's rather unusual for you to have fellowship with the Father, you can just learn what's in 1 John 1:3. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. And just try it a little. Father, you have a will. And I decide to live and do the perfect will of God. Father, this is my decision. And then I just trust that you will supply whatever I need to do your will. And so we need to know what it is And we need to do what it is. And we may not understand many things, but there's an inner sense that you just have the peace, you have the guidance. I want you to do this. This is my will. Or on another time, you bring the matter and you just realize there's no peace within. It seems to be so delightful, but there's no rest because that is not the Father's will. KB, since entering into the kingdom of the heavens requires doing the will of the Father, of the Heavenly Father, it is clearly different from entering into the kingdom of God through regeneration. But we need to take in these two verses in John 3, that you have been regenerated into the kingdom of God. And when dear men and women, boys and girls, are newly saved among us, and we baptize them, then they may not know what's taking place yet, but we do. We are baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, because they have been regenerated into the kingdom of God in the realm of life. And then in caring for them, you need to help them to understand where you are now. And we'll have to learn. We're kind of like spiritual parents. But if you have a little child who is seven days old, you don't say, "We just want you to know you're a member of our family and you're a citizen of the United States." They can't absorb that. But there needs to be this realization that when we were regenerated, we entered into the kingdom of God. Whether we like it or not, or know it or not, we're here. You were born here. Just like you were born in a certain country, most of us in the United States. And then because we're here, we're under the government and all the various things. So point one, the entrance into the kingdom of God is through being born of the divine life. And I want to pause here. I just have the sense not to take things for granted. The divine life. So, I'm going to ask a question, but don't answer out loud. Do you have the divine life? Not just your human life. Okay? How do you know that you have the divine life? Well, with life, there's a sense, and there's a function. And eventually, you will be able to discern the difference between your natural human life and the divine life. And then, gradually, your perception will be developed. And when you are about to say something or do something or go somewhere, then you realize, there's something in me that doesn't give me the peace. This is something where I want to be and want to do. Well, that is the divine life giving you a sense that the Lord wants you to do this, but not that. And this is why we all need to learn experientially the inward function of the divine life, because the Lord is, to a large extent, you could say, ruling over us by the sense of life. And sometimes we have to make a decision. And the time is limited. And so you're not clear what it is. And so, like in a chapter in Acts, Paul had the feeling, I'm going to go in that direction. Then the Spirit said, no. And he said, okay, then I'll go in this direction. And the Lord said, no. So he didn't say, I'm terrible. I started going in the wrong direction. No, it's better to take some steps than to just be sitting here doing nothing. Because once you're a little bit in motion, then it's quite easy for the Lord to say, not this, but it's not a judgment. It's just a redirection. Then you say, well, maybe it's this. Then eventually they will make it clear. And so, it's by the inner sense of the divine life that we need to know God's will made known by this. Because this is the entrance, living of the divine life. See, the Lord Jesus rebuked those who prophesied, cast out demons, and did works of power in his name, because as workers of lawlessness, they did these things out of themselves, not out of obedience of God's will. So this gives us some spiritual understanding. And the Lord has thorough discernment of every part of our, not just our outward behavior, but of our living being, of our constitution, of our thinking, of our feeling. That's why he could say, these things were out of yourself. You thought you were obeying me, you were serving me. The Father is the only source. But now yourself became the source. So things come out of themselves, not out of obedience of God's will. And if I were you hearing this for the first time, when I had opportunity just to converse with the Lord a little bit and to say, Lord, save me from doing things out of myself. I'm no better than anybody else. I don't want to end up, you're telling me this. Oh, wasn't it wonderful? I decided to move to this place, or I decided to do that. And because we're in an age of grace, the Lord made allow it. And some very positive things may take place, and you think, wow, that was a wonderful time. But then the Lord would say, you were the source. It came out from you. Not out of obedience of God's will. obedience. And on a human level, it's quite endearing that growing children, you have teenagers, that they obey their parents. And they're obedient at school, whatever it is. And it's better that they are obedient than rebellion. But actually, that kind of obedience is the natural human life. Because when certain requirements from God are placed upon us, then it may be a different story. But just this matter. They did these things, I'm repeating, purposely, out of themselves, not out of obedience to God's will. And just with a loving concern, and I'm not exempt, I'm also vulnerable, that there will be no co-workers among us, that when we stand before the judgment seat, the Lord will say, "You were the source of all this. It was lawless." Rather, if he could just say to all the dear brothers and sisters, "You obeyed God's will. You obeyed." And with God's will, I would say there are more no's and o's. Not this kind of no's, but N-O's. Then yes. No. 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 Yes. And it's just an inner sense. It's not a trumpet blowing. No. Just the sense. No. And that's all that Father God is going to say. That's enough. You realize this is not the Father's will for me. And I just wonder, let's just say that a number of co-workers, maybe 20 co-workers, as they often do, they have times together for fellowship about many things. So let's say a certain matter comes out and someone speaks at some length about it. And then apparently everyone says, "We feel good. We feel good." And everyone has an opportunity. I mean, how do you feel about it? "We feel good." So they are in a sense of one accord. But what would happen if one of the brothers would say, "Well, we've had very good fellowship, honest fellowship, and we all have the same feeling. But I just have one question. Is this God's will?" You could very well, they're not the same thing to say, because we're all in one accord. Especially, whether it's in the church life or some other function or meeting, there may be a kind of a strong leading person. And he has that portion, but when it comes across, it's really quite strong. And then often the other brothers, they're just afraid to say, "Brothers, I have to be honest, I have a different feeling." But no one should be bothered. They should say, "Please let us know." I've been in meetings where someone suggested something, in a firm way, but not in a demanding way. And others were just responding. And then one brother had to say, because the decision hadn't been made yet, that I've got a different feeling. And then they would say, please share with us. And I've been in meetings where after that brother shared something, then everyone was clear. This is from God. And I've also been in times of fellowship where a brother sincerely said, I have a different feeling, and so please make it known. And then after he shares it, and he's the first one to say, okay, now after I told you this, I'm very clear, this is not what God wants. Now, what am I talking about? I was the brother doing stuff like this and learning. But it's in an atmosphere of love and respect and openness. And we are pursuing together. And so it's not just we are all of one accord, but the governing factor is this the will of God the Father? And I wonder what would have happened prior to that particular conference that I referred to. Yeah, some have the feeling, I feel we need to do this kind of thing, and then we just pause. Okay, this you say this is a burden, this is your feeling. Is this God's will? This is of utmost importance. Okay, point one under C. There are two principles in the universe. The principle of God's authority and the principle of Satan's rebellion. It's a fact that at certain points in the history of the Lord's recovery, there has been very intense rebellion. There was in the 60s in Taiwan. And Brother Lee knew that it's coming forth. Even while he was giving a message, he said, I realize what's taking place. And so he left for a period of time and came to the United States. And in 1978, there was a rebellion. In 1988, there was a rebellion. And I mentioned this before, but this may be something quite new to you. In 1974, Brother Lee was to have the first semi-annual training in the summer and begin with the life study of Romans. But then he had an emergency and he had to have surgery on one of his eyes. And so he arranged for four co-workers to give the messages, 30 messages, three for 10 days. And I was there. And I heard all the messages. And three of the co-workers eventually rebelled. One in 78, and the other two in 88. And the other brother finished his course in 1984. And he knew he was dying young. He was just in middle age. But he was the one of the four who did the will of God and was under the government of God, under the authority of God, under God's authority, and not the principle of Satan's rebellion. And there's something, I believe, not only in my heart, but in the heart of other older brothers and sisters. What about the new generation, the young generation? Maybe not just the second, maybe the third generation. They're in their late teens, their early 20s. Are they enlightened concerning this? What is the battle in the universe between the authority of God and the rebellion of Satan? As I mentioned previously this weekend, you know, after a message that was given on the training on numbers, then a rebellion broke out. And I happened to be the target. It didn't affect me, because like I mentioned last night, if the attack comes, then I just bring it to the Lord on the throne. I'm not going to fight back, because I sincerely believe this may be the final generation. And these younger ones may be, you are going to be the army. The Lord will preserve some younger brothers and sisters that can train you and lead you. But a lot is going to depend on your absoluteness to help to end this age. And so there needs to be intense light, we can't get into it now, concerning God's authority and Satan's rebellion. And Satan's rebellion is going to be brought into being through certain persons. He's not going to manifest himself and say, I'm Satan and I'm rebelling. And so this is part of the warfare that we're involved in. Two, we cannot serve God on the one hand and take the way of rebellion on the other hand. And we saw this happen in 1978, one of the four brothers who spoke. On the one side, he seems to be serving God, but on the other side, it was rebellion. And then it broke out after the summer training in 1978, and it was so clear. But all of our church life living should be positive. We're not just saying, when is it going to be the next rebellion around here? I'm just watching. No, the enemy is using that to torment you. We have a very positive view, but when something is about to take place, there will be discernment. And then I learned from Brother Lee, he didn't take outward action immediately. Rather, he brought the situation to the Lord and just waited for the Lord to move. And then afterwards, then the way was open for him to speak again and again and again. That's why we have these two books, the messages on life, message on truth. It took place after that. Three, we must turn away from the principle of lawlessness and reject the way of rebellion. Well, we turn away from it and we reject it once we are aware of what it is. We can't say right now, I just heard about it, so I'm turning away from the principle of lawlessness. I reject the way of rebellion. Just come to the Lord as you are. Lord, I'm learning this for the first time. I want to serve you in a proper way. Train me to turn away from the principle of lawlessness. Just, Lord, protect me, please. Save me. He will. And Lord, teach me how to reject the way of rebellion. Amen. And you'll just discern it. And it could even be someone that you've known for quite a while, but you just realize we've had a lot of times of fellowship and serving together, but I will not join you in going in this direction. I had to do this openly. Just declare, I'm going on this way with the Lord in his recovery, with Brother Lee taking the lead. And they were shocked, and they deserve to be shocked, because we need to be saved from this. For serving God is directly linked to his authority. So again, in a couple minute or two now, I'll be done. We'll have 20 minutes for sharing about. But there'll be a time, I believe, we can share about this. Serving the Lord is directly linked to his authority. And so our service is our obedience to the Lord's governmental authority over us. And so it's linked to his authority. And so the content of any subject of a conference doesn't originate with me or any other co-worker. Father, what is the burden? What is your source? This is an indicator we are under your authority, the most peaceful place to be. 5, if we do not settle the matter of authority, we will have problems in all areas of our service. So time will tell. We need to settle the matter of authority. And maybe the Lord will, maybe we'll have a conference on this for the whole recovery. We'll see. Because you can't just throw it out and tell the saints, you know, obey authority and don't follow rebellion. We need to supply the saints. We need to minister to them. We need to encourage them. And then we all go on together. Now the last point. May the Lord preserve our service in the principle of submission to God's authority and God's will. And this could be an ending message prayer. So I suggest, if you're someone sitting by, please pray together for about a minute over point D. May the Lord preserve our service in the principle of submission to God's authority and the Father's will. And then share according to the message.